You're listening to a Get Serial podcast.
I am very excited. I'm already in a very chatty mood. I took an Uber in today and I was chatting so much with the guy that I was genuinely sad when I had to get out of the Uber. Oh. We made friends and I'm ready to make more friends today.
Ooh.
I'm ready to get going.
Well, I have good news for you because we might just be making some friends later today. We have a little special interview, so maybe you should stick around and check that one out once it's time. But if you want to keep up to date with anything Get Serial, you can do so at Get Serial Sin on Instagram. You can also do so on our TikTok, where we will post eventually, we promise. And of course, you can also keep up to date with every single episode we ever do on our Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Omni FM, and anywhere else where good podcasts can be found. Get Serial Sin, check it out. And we've got speaking of interviews, we do have our wonderful interview with our previous interviewee, Bonwai Chow. So go check that one out. It's a very fun interview. But we do have some helplines available if you need them.
If you're at any point wanting to talk to someone about the topics we discussed today, or if in general you just need a chat, we've got free helplines here that you can reach out to. We've got Beyond Blue, which is available at 1300 224 636. We've got the Kids Helpline, which you can reach at 1800 55 1800, and the QLife Helpline, which you can call at 1800 184 527. As always, these are incredible resources. They're always worth a call if you just need a chat. Yeah, just look after yourself.
Definitely. But with that, we're going to jump into our first song for today. And it's one from the Sweet 16. It is called Best For You And Me by Gelato Negro. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. You just heard Sweet Tooth by Maya Hawke. And before that was Best For You And Me by Gelato Negro. And one of the best things you could do for you and me is check out the Sweet 16, sin.org.au every Sunday, or you can check it out every single Sunday on the Sweet 16 show at 5 p.m. Very, very, very fun show. But we do have a little bit of an exciting bit of, you know, tease that we decided to do today. So if you've been watching Netflix really ever, you probably have seen Stranger Things. Somehow, most of the cast, especially the younger cast, are all musicians. Like, all of them.
So far, every single person is a musician that I could find. Everyone I research, musician. Or has been on Broadway. Which,
yeah,
same. It's incredible. They're all very, very talented people. Maya Hawke, who you just heard, you mightn't recognize the name because she's also in Stranger Things. And she has, I think, maybe the coolest parents in the world. Her dad is Ethan Hawke, and her mum is Uma Thurman. So she,
yeah, that's up there.
It's pretty up there, but I really recommend her music. It was one of those things where I found her on Discover Weekly or whatever it was on Spotify. I was like, oh, I really like her music. And then to find out it was like Maya Hawke, daughter of Uma Thurman, it really threw me for a loop. And she has a lot of songs about her mum, and I want to know if they're like inspired by real events or if she's writing for fictitious people, because I want the gossip on Uma Thurman. I'm just nosy.
Well, Maya, if you're listening, there's a couple seats free if you ever want to join us. But with that, we're going to dive into our news for today. And I'm going to start off by letting you guys know that the fastest growing black hole has been discovered. What good news to start with. Researchers at the Australian National University have detected the fastest growing supermassive black hole ever recorded, with a mass of roughly 17 billion times that of our sun. It's pretty big. It's growing in mass by the equivalent of one sun per day, and it's also the brightest object astronomers have ever observed. So that's pretty cool.
Keeping on going with the theme of, well, the black hole isn't super bad news. It's kind of interesting and a little bad. Yeah.
Well, it's a little spooky, but you know, we don't really know much about them, so who knows?
Well, what else is spooky is that Australians are spending hundreds of dollars too much on petrol. So Aussies are paying up to twice as much for petrol than European motorists are, according to figures published by the Climate Council last week. European motorists are getting more bang for their buck because European cars are subject to stringent helpful fuel efficiency rules that mean that their cars travel further for less. Now the Climate Council are calling for the government to introduce tough fuel efficiency standards. So the Climate Councillor and economist, words are very hard this morning, as per usual, Nikki Hurtley said, but our long-time lack of fuel efficiency standards make us a dumping ground for older, less efficient cars. Australians are paying far more for fuel because we're driving inefficient, petrol-guzzling cars that the rest of the world has rejected.
Definitely, I feel that as a driver. Moving on from there, though, police have charged two adults with a murder in shooting at Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl celebration. So two men have been charged with murder in last week's shooting that killed one person and injured 22 others after the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade. Prosecutors in the U.S., state of Missouri, have dealt with this. So it is dealt with at the moment, and they are being charged.
What's interesting with that one was that that was actually friendly gunfire. Well, it started off as friendly gunfire and it was an argument. So they found it wasn't anything bigger than that. But it is very sad to see that people lost their lives and got injured.
Definitely. Rest in peace to those who did.
Meanwhile, in regional New South Wales, we're seeing arson cases are on the rise. So crime data extracted by the ABC show that there are big spikes in arson offences across New South Wales, with some regional areas reporting a rate up to 8 times the state average. So according to crime global fire expert Richard Woods, arson causes chaos around the world, with firebugs causing billions of dollars of damage each year. So, in the 2 years to September 2023, New South Wales recorded about 7,500 cases of arson, which is up about 32% each year. So it's obviously massive and it's on the rise. I will say, however, that the police have said that there is something to be said with the fact that they've changed how they kind of keep track of the data of arson cases now, which could make it look like it's a bit more severe than it was before, because they're kind of labelling things differently now, if that makes sense.
That makes sense, yeah.
But they said it's not to be discounted and it is an issue they are trying to crack down on.
Well, moving on from that, we do have that the Highland Games trophy is missing for... Sorry, let me rephrase that. The Highland Games trophy that has been missing for 90 years has returned home to Scotland. So the Cabrach Picnic and Games ran annually from 1877 to 1935, which was revived in 2022, but without the trophy, which was nowhere to be found. Following a public appeal last year, the trophy was tracked down 585 miles away in Devon in Adrian Taylor's attic. Adrian found the trophy in his house and discovered that there was a public appeal seeking its return after Googling the trophy to find out more. He is the grandson of the last winner, Charles Taylor.
And an American man is suing the Powerball lottery after his apparent $340 million US jackpot win turned out to be a mistake. So John Cheeks alleged that he saw his numbers on the DC lottery website on the 8th of January 2023 after buying a ticket for the Powerball draw held the day before. But the numbers that were posted on the website were not actually those that were pulled out in the draw, because apparently the website, Tauti Enterprises hosters, accidentally posted the wrong numbers, which is a real bummer.
Yeah, just a bit.
Yeah, if you think you've won $350 million, you'd be a bit upset if it was a typo.
I would probably go and spend a bunch of things.
Well, that's the thing. So in his lawsuit, Mr. Cheek said that when he tried to claim the ticket, it was rejected. And he met another brick wall at the office, like the lottery office, when he tried to claim it there, when he found out it wasn't a winning ticket. He said that an employee told him the ticket was no good and he should just throw it in the trash can, adding, "You're not going to get paid. There's a trash can right there," which kind of is me when I... That's how I want to talk in customer service, but I can't. But I respect that the man was just straight up. But he said instead of throwing it in the trash can, he's put it in a safe deposit box and he's now suing the lottery company and the website that hosts it. I don't know if he can. We'll find out what the results are.
I mean, in theory, they might be able to pay the damages for what he may have spent in either travel or what he just may have spent.
But also, can you, because you shouldn't really be spending money you don't have yet. Sure, even if you think you've won the lottery, right? You should wait until it's come into your account.
Yes, but there's also the argument that they've just told someone they've won a lot of money and haven't followed through with it. So there is definitely that issue. I would be very curious to see how this goes, though.
Maybe we'll update everyone on a later episode of Get Serial. You have to stay tuned into our program.
Definitely. Let us know what side of this you sit on. Should he get some sort of compensation? Should he not? I don't know. Maybe worth putting on the war paint for this one. Here is Common Blue by Warpaint. You're listening to Get Serial on Six. You just heard two incredible songs. They were... Well, you heard four incredible songs, actually. We have a bit of a longer break for you guys. Here you heard Your Baby by Tomorrow's Forecast. Before that was Skipping by Oddie Nocky. Then, before that was Brother by the Aubreys. And before that was Dean Lewis with Memories. And there's a whole lot of stuff to talk about there. First on Brother by the Aubreys. That's actually Finn Wolfhard's second band, so definitely check that one out if you enjoyed that. But we've got a whole bunch of stuff to get into in the next little while, but Annabelle?
I just want to say two things quickly. I'm just stepping in because we've had some great tracks. I want to say that Memories by Dean Lewis was suggested to us by one of our followers on Get Serial Sin on Instagram. So if you want to promote your favourite artist or if there's a song you just really love, let us know, because we do listen and we do take your song suggestions in mind. And it's always fun playing songs that you definitely want to hear.
Of course.
And I will say, just to make me feel really cool, with Your Baby by Tomorrow's Forecast, they are such a great band. Currently, they only have 716 monthly listeners. So if you want to go there and be able to say that you were there first, go check them out on Spotify, because I think they're going to go really well.
Yeah, you can say you heard them before they blew up. But with that, we're going to talk about where you can find us if need be. So, of course, you can find us on Get Serial Sin on Instagram, where you can follow, keep up to date with anything anything we're doing, any posts. We do let you know what music you can expect before the show. So do keep an eye on that as well. We do have a TikTok where we promise one day, eventually, we will post something. And if you missed any episodes and you want to catch up on them, you can do so at Get Serial Sin on Omni, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, or literally anywhere else good podcasts can be found. But we know sometimes things do get difficult, and we do have helplines available for that. Annabelle, have you got those helplines ready for us?
I do. So we have three different helplines available. We have got the QLife helpline, which you can reach at 1800 184 527. Beyond Blue, which you can phone at 1300 224 636. And the Kids helpline, which is available at 1800 55 1800. Incredible resources, and they're always worth a phone if you need to.
Definitely. And just a bit of a maybe hype up, excitement moment. You just stick around for our next hour because, Annabelle, what have we got coming up?
We have got an incredible interview coming up live in studio.
Ooh.
Am I allowed to say the name, or should we?
Well, we should leave it a secret.
Yeah.
Just for the moment, some local musicians.
All I'll say is they're great. They've got incredible music, and I'm sure they will be a lovely delight to talk to. So everyone should stay tuned in. If you've arrived at your destination, stay in the car. Drive it around an extra lap, you know?
Let your boss know you'll be late to work.
We can write you an excuse. We'll write you a little sick note.
We cannot write you an excuse. But with that, we have our next couple songs, and maybe somehow you're bored of guitar. Well, too bad. Here is Bored of Guitar by Simon Spine on Sin. This song does have some scary, sweary words, so if you don't like that, please feel free to turn down your radio for about 4 minutes and join us after. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. You just heard three incredible songs. They were The Rebirth of Michael by Jafar Jackson. That's right, it's his nephew, which I'll get back to in just a second. Before that, you also heard two incredible songs. They were Space Harrier, one of my favourites at the moment, by Mitch Murder. And before that was A Board of Guitar by Simon Spine. And Simon is spelled P-S-Y-M-O-N. I love that. It's a really cool name. But if you do want to check out that, you can check it out on sin.org.au for the Sweet 16 playlist, or you can check it out every Sunday at Sin at every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the Sunday Sweets show. It is definitely worth checking out. I do suggest it. And that little bit of news about that Michael Jackson sounding tune with Jafar Jackson. Jafar Jackson has really just started his music career And so far, I've got to say, if he keeps up doing that, I'm all for it. But apparently he is so alike to Michael, especially in Michael's prime, that for a biopic of Michael Jackson, Jafar is just playing Michael.
That's crazy.
Which, can you imagine being so similar to an uncle that famous?
It must be hard, though, because obviously he's kind of leaning into it with the song Rebirth of Michael.
And oh, also, definitely.
If you check out his Instagram, one of the only pictures is him doing the kind of iconic Michael Jackson pose, holding, you know, the hat on his tiptoes. But I feel like it must be hard because you're always going to get compared to Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
That's a hard one to start your career with. So I guess you might as well lean into it. You might as well say, like, because he's going to get the comparisons whether he wants to or not. So you might as well kind of roll with it. But it'd be a tricky one to navigate.
He could make it work. He can make his own career. I guess he could lean into the, hey, I'm Michael Jackson's nephew. And then later on, all of a sudden, he's pulling out his own look and everything like that. He can rechange and everything later on. But
it's a good idea, yeah.
Kind of change directions. Ooh. And go into an bad guy.
Am I the bad guy? I like that. Okay, Bianca, am I, or really, the person who submitted this post, are they the bad guy for refusing to babysit last minute and ruining the parents' important plans because their son seemed older than they said they were? I, 19, female, have been babysitting occasionally for a few families for the past 2 years. A week ago, a new family got my number from one of the families I babysit for already. I told them up front that I have a rule where I only babysit boys that are 10 and under, but when it comes to girls, the age isn't an issue for me. They told me they had 2 boys, aged 9 and 10, so I agreed. They told me they had very important plans at AM to babysit, and I assured them I'm very professional and will be there on time and all that. The date came, and I went to the house, and the dad greeted me, then took me to their living room to meet the boys. To my surprise, the boys look like no 9 and 10-year-olds I've ever met. One looked 12, and the other looked like he could be 15 or even 16. Both were taller than me, and the older one even had visible facial hair. All that was going through my head was that these parents had lied to me about the ages, because I led with my rule about ages, and I reckoned they lied to me, so I would accept. When the mother came down and greeted me, I asked to speak to her in another room, and I told her I couldn't babysit. I was truthful about the reason, and she was livid. We got into a back and forth where I basically said that I felt they'd lied about the ages. And she said, oh, so you want me to show you their birth certificate so you believe me? At this point, I was kind of mad because she'd gotten so livid immediately. And I also felt like I was being fooled. Anyway, I said, yeah, some proof would help. She stomped off to the living room, and I could hear her telling her husband to get this witch out of my house. I'll stay with the boys. I walked out of the kitchen towards the front door and announced that I was leaving before I stepped out. Later that night, the mum of the family who recommended me called, and she was also pretty angry. I explained that these boys looked much older than they were said to be, and there was no way they weren't lying. She said, well, maybe one's actually 11, but the other one truly is 9, and they just look a lot older. To be fair, the mother was tall and the dad was huge. It's actually the reason I asked to confront the mother and not the father. But the boys weren't just tall, but they also looked older face-wise. Also, babysitting 2 strange boys who are both taller and clearly much stronger than me doesn't feel safe, which is why I have the age rule in the first place. There was no way that their mother didn't realize her boys looked much older than boys their age. I also felt like it was something she should have mentioned when I told her about my rule. I felt like I was justified, but also felt bad that I ruined their plans. Everyone involved is angry at me, and I wonder if I was maybe overreacting, and I should have just babysat them since I agreed. Right now, I don't know what to think. Was I the bad guy?
Yeah, I think you are.
Do you?
Yeah, I think that the simple matter of the fact is when some boys mature and look much older much earlier. So I feel like there is that question of like, yeah, are these just kids who are looking a little bit older? Did a kid hit puberty a little bit earlier and all of a sudden they can't be looked after? I get the safety rule and I understand that. But at the same time, like, what, 11 and 9? You say they look at most 15? Like, I feel like there's definitely, obviously, just a breakdown in communication between both parties. I do believe that. But you've also shown up and said yes, and you're breaking your own rule for something that you can't prove and that you're just assuming. Like, I don't know, it feels icky to kind of just be like, well, one of them looks a little bit older.
Interesting, because I disagree.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think she's saying that they're not, just because they look older, they shouldn't be cared for. I think she's saying that she's not the right person in this case. It's hard, especially with two kids you've never met. They're both taller than you. They're both stronger than you. That's already hard. And babysitting, first, I mean, they're not really babies, but, you know, babysitting is hard. If the kids are physically bigger and stronger than you, that can feel uncomfortable. And I think that, you know, maybe in that case, maybe they should have flagged it and just either flagged it at the beginning or found someone else who was maybe a bit older, because it's hard if you're young, you're 19, and the kids are already bigger and stronger than you. It's kind of hard to be the person in charge there. And if you feel unsafe, you shouldn't be working. Maybe whether it's fair or not to feel unsafe, but I understand it. And I think maybe they could have found a different babysitter who was maybe an older person, who was maybe taller, someone who could feel more comfortable showing authority. It's hard when they're physically taller than you and stronger. I get that.
I don't know. This is a really tricky one, because it really is just boiling down to, like, should you be babysitting if you're worried about kids who are just hitting the puberty age?
We don't.
Looking stronger and everything. We don't know all the situation.
I think there's a real difference. I babysit lots of little kids, right? I wouldn't feel comfortable babysitting kids who literally had facial hair, who were taller than me, who looked stronger than me, that I didn't know. And I don't know their dynamic. There's a difference between babysitting an 8-year-old and babysitting a 5-year-old than babysitting someone who's literally, like, I don't know. I think there is a difference, especially if you don't know the kids, because I'm sure they're lovely kids, but you don't know them and you're going to be stuck in a house alone with them. If you feel unsafe, it's not the best for the kids. It's not the best for you.
Oh, yeah. I should make it clear that when I say that I think she's the bad guy, I also think that the parents are the bad guys for not being clear about the fact that the children look older. Usually parents can tell. I don't know. I'm in the middle with this. I don't think there's a right party in this situation. I would argue that the right answer would just simply be maybe be better communicating about what you're after. And maybe this might be a tricky thing, especially with 10, 10 being your cutoff point. Some boys hit puberty really, really early and will start growing facial hair at like 9 and 10. I've seen it. I've been around it. It might be worth bringing her age for boys down if that's something she's scared of or that she's not comfortable with. I don't know. I'm curious to see what people think about this, because I'm in a little bit of a middle point with this. I see one argument. I see the other. I don't necessarily agree with one over the other.
It's like a gray.
It's a very gray zone. It's very situational for me. I'd love to know what people think on Instagram. So let us know, Get Serial Sin on Instagram. But with that, we're going to dive into our next couple songs. And, well, they're pretty bloody good. Annabelle?
You'll be listening to some incredible songs. First up, Sweet Disposition by The Temper Trap. Enjoy.
You just heard a couple great songs. They were Fried Rice by Royal Otis, great band. And before that was End of Beginning by Joe and the Temper Trap, even, with Sweet Disposition. All wonderful tunes. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. And Annabelle, it's that time of the day. We're joined by a couple special guests in studio.
We are. I'm very excited for our next guest. We have got two of the five of this next band that we're going to be talking about. We have got some incredible artists talking to us about their new single and their latest album that's coming out very soon. Bianca, who do we have in studio?
So we have the wonderful band, the Vovos. So the Vovos are maybe the coolest teenage punk band in Melbourne and have been for a couple years now. They've just dropped their new single, Pink Milk, I believe on the 1st of February or the 17th. I'll double check that in just a second. And are here to discuss their upcoming album, Lilla Gubin, which drops on the 1st of March in just a week. So hi, guys. How are we feeling?
Hi.
I'm feeling good.
I'm so excited.
Yes, very exciting time.
This is a long time coming, this album. We've spent so much work on it. I'm so glad it's here. It's almost 1 week.
Ooh, definitely excited for that one. But we'll take a step back for a second and, you know, just a bit of an icebreaker here. So we are a breakfast radio show. We're going to know, what's your ideal breakfast?
Oh, interesting. I love scrambled eggs. It's long-term favourite of mine. It's, like, easy enough that I could do it, but also, like, still special. Like, I wouldn't do it all the time.
Yeah, fair enough.
I like scrambled eggs too, or just generally eggs. But for my everyday breakfast, I would go muesli and fruit and yogurt. So the eggs is the special one too.
Yeah.
The eggs are a special treat.
Yes.
They take a bit more effort, I feel like. Yeah, we don't have time in the mornings. I should say, we have Lou and we have Ruby. And can you tell us a little bit about your roles in the band? Because we don't have everyone in today.
Sure thing. So, yeah, I'm Lou, and I'm the bass player of the Vervos.
I'm Ruby, and I play keys in the Vervos. And we also do backing vocals,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we do lots of little backing vocals, things like that.
Definitely. Well, we're going to start off moving all the way back to your first meeting as a band. So in 2017, you met at a band camp. Could you elaborate on that and let us know a little bit more about that in particular?
Yeah, it was a crazy cool camp called Girls Rock, and it was all about empowering women and gender diverse, well, actually girls and gender diverse kids, like all from, I don't know, like around like 10 to 17 kind of age group, empowering them to make rock music. So we'd get together and meet cool musicians and learn an instrument and make a band and write songs and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and then at the end of the week you get to perform at like a pub kind of situation and play your song for...
How was that, performing in a pub after the meetup? Because that would have been, what, a pretty quick get-together and put together a song, yeah?
Yeah.
It's like 5 days, you write a song and then you have to play
it. It was definitely, like, hard, but, like, not, like, impossible, and it definitely challenges you to, like, do something you've never done before, really. Everyone there, even people who are, like, musicians who'd played for a long time were like, this is crazy. And it was so cool. Like, when you're 13, to play at a pub is like, whoa.
No, totally. We'll move on from that a little bit, and we'll kind of dive into the name, the Vervos. Now, the Vervos, for a lot of us, are probably little Arnott's biscuits. Is that where you got the name? Where do we get the name of the Vervos?
Well, originally, yes, it was the biscuit.
Yeah,
it just matched our aesthetic, I guess. And then...
Yeah, they're very pretty. They're pink and they're red and they're white and they taste so bad. so it was definitely part of the inspiration. Also, like, there's this crazy story about apparently the owner of Arnott's, because they kind of look a little bit like vaginas, which was the other reason we named the band this. And we always do, it's like it's the undercover reason. And apparently the owner of Arnott's made the Vervos biscuit based off of his mistress.
Oh my God. Huh.
And apparently she was blonde, and that's why it's coconut.
That is
the
not
more
a.
You know.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to talk about Kevin Rudd and how he kind of helped sell Vervos. I didn't think it was going to go in that direction.
Definitely not.
We're a very educational show this morning. It's great. Perfect. And can you tell me, because I'm curious, when you met at the band camp, did you kind of instantly know you were going to form this band beyond the camp? Or was it kind of like you met there and then you reconnected? What was the process like?
Well, actually, we didn't all meet there. So.
Ah, okay.
Arda and I became friends at the first camp, and we were like, we should probably do a band at some point. And then the second camp came around, and we're like, we should definitely do a band. And then Arda went to school with Ruby. That's how she got involved. And Beth got involved because she also went to the camp, but we weren't super close. But we had a mutual friend who was like, I know a guitar player, if you want a guitar player. And we're like, yeah, we do. Mika came a little later to the band, and we had Ruby's sister, Bibi, for a little bit as well.
Ooh. I think we'll move a little bit further in for the moment. Now, a lot of your music is focused on things that you wouldn't expect, like your like for chickens, plants, and two-minute noodles. Where do these ideas come from? Personally, I love them.
Well, We did start songwriting quite young, so as like 15, 16-year-olds, they were kind of the exciting things at the time, the 2 Minute Noodles and Plants. I don't know, they're fun things to write about. I think it's funny.
Yeah, I think also the process for our band is we just hang out and we're all just best friends, just talking about random stuff and just doing nothing for hours. And then, so like weird little conversation turns just happen, and that ends up in a song about stuff that maybe you wouldn't write with someone that you don't know as closely.
Fair enough. And I'll dive into something that, in doing research, I saw this argument, and I want to know how you guys feel about it. So you guys have been described as a rebuttal to the condescending guitar boys that are clogging up the music scene. What do you feel about that phrase?
I feel very good about that phrase. I feel like a rebuttal against that. We have a line somewhere. I don't remember what the song is that we have a line in about guitar boys.
It's a song we haven't released yet.
Oh, it's a song we haven't released yet.
I don't know if we can say it or not.
Yeah, I just actually can't remember. What is the song?
It's Ditzy and Upset.
Ah, Ditzy and Upset.
Might be worth keeping an eye out for that one. That's going to be on the new album, I assume.
Is the day the album comes out. You can listen to that one. We talk about guitar boys.
Definitely excited to see that. And we do actually have something as a gift for you guys.
Oh,
I'm a little bit disappointed you guys said you weren't a fan of them.
I take everything back. I love them so much.
They'll be decorative. You can put them on the shelf.
They are pretty.
They're pretty though. They're so beautiful.
Definitely. Well, we did bring in a packet. They can probably hear the scrunching on the mic, but we did bring in a packet of Arnott's Iced Vovos for you guys.
My favourite biscuit. So, I never said
enjoy,
a bad word about
if you can
so
pass
sweet.
Them on to someone, maybe.
But I will treasure every one of them.
Oh, perfect. Well, stick around, guys, because we are going to talk more about the song and the album Pink Milk and Lilla Gubin coming up after these next couple songs. You're listening to Get Cereal on Sin, and our next song is the wonderful song Waste My Time by Work in Progress. You're listening to Get Cereal on Sin.
You just heard Waste My Time by Work in Progress. Now, welcome back to Get Cereal, where we're interviewing the Vovos, an exciting Melbourne-based band who've been described as punk witch on ABC Triple J. I'm excited to talk a bit more to them. Bianca.
Well, first off, you guys had a bit of a giggle at that. I'm curious, how do you feel about being called punk witches?
Amazing.
I love that.
That's really cool.
I haven't heard that one before.
That feels amazing and strong and our brand.
Perfect. Speaking of your brand, so your new song Pink Milk just came out, and I'm curious to know, what does that song mean to you?
I think Pink Milk is kind of like our manifesto. It's our experience in the music industry, our kind of ethos as a band. It's all about making up our own rules and deciding what we want to consider punk or what we want to consider cool music, I guess, and about kind of like, yeah, this is who we are, which is why we really wanted it as a single.
Yeah, I totally agree. You just said it all.
Thanks, Ruby.
Well, I'm happy you released it as a single because I got to go through the lyrics a little bit, and in the song you mention the name Lola over and over.
Oh, yes.
I'm curious, who is Lola?
Lola is from the kids' TV show Charlie and Lola, who drinks her pink milk.
Yeah.
Is that where the name for the song comes from as well?
Yes.
I'm guessing the both of you grew up very much with Charlie and Lola then?
I did, yeah.
Lots of that.
Perfect to hear. Well, we'll bounce off the pink milk name a little bit. So, obviously, it's named Pink Milk. But I've got to ask, what's your favourite flavour of milk? Is it pink or maybe you're looking for a bit of chalky?
Once again, we pick things that we don't really like to consume very much. I have to be honest, I bought a bit of pink milk for like promotion of this song and I literally couldn't finish a glass of it. I was like, this is horrific. And then you say you've got another present for us.
I didn't bring any milk in, don't worry.
Yeah, I think I would totally go chocolate milk over pink milk, but it does look pretty because it's pink.
I know.
That's the way it goes.
Now, I have to ask, in the music video, great visuals, but there is a very cool flower guitar that stood out to both myself and Annabelle. Is there a story behind that? Because that is so cool.
Well, it's called a Daisy Rock, and Arda found it. I think it's a brand in, like, Queensland or something. And
it's a brand. The Daisy Rock is a brand of guitar that is designed for, like, female bodies, so they're smaller and lighter guitars, because guitars were designed for, like, the classic man vibes. And they also look really cute. And lots of famous guitar players have used them over the years. And there are in love hearts and flowers and all sorts of stars, I think, that kind of thing. They're very fun.
They definitely look it. And you mentioned famous, I guess, guitar players, but other famous musicians. So I have to ask, what musicians stand out as, I guess, inspirations to the both of you?
Oh, my God.
That's a hard question. I love the Beths. I'm actually going to go see them in a couple of weeks. They're a New Zealand band.
That's very exciting.
That's the first one that comes to mind, but I don't know. Can you think of another one?
We've definitely had like seasons of music that all of the band just is obsessed with, and we play like every time we get together. Like right now, I've got a Body Type T-shirt. And we love Body Type. We go see their gigs all the time. They're a Sydney-based band, and Soph, the singer, is one of the people who run our record label. So we're just having a moment with Body Type, the band. They're amazing and awesome and cool. But, right at the beginning of the band, we loved, like, Courtney Barnett and Camp Cope, for example. But, yeah, we've had lots of different eras of the band.
No, totally.
Obsessed with.
And I think I'll bounce back for just one second. You did mention gigs. So I know you guys have some gigs coming up soon, and then you guys have a tour as well. So can we hype up those ones? Let us know where they are, and what can people expect if they were to rock up?
The next show we're playing is Across the Punt, which is the 2nd of March, so day after release, actually. And that's at Lily Tavern and also the Gem.
Yeah.
The Gem Bar.
It's like an all-day mini festival kind of thing, so you can go to these two venues and see lots and lots of bands. And we're included, which will be fun. And then I just don't know. I'm really bad at this part of the band. Everyone's like, what's your next show? And I'm like, well.
Then we're playing End of It and...
Oh, yeah.
It's the one either the day before or the day after. I can't actually remember. It's the weekend of the 16th of March.
Yeah, but End of It is going to be a really cool show. It's all about raising awareness for endometriosis. And so it's huge lineup full of bands. Come and you can dance and then just think about this really difficult disease. So we're excited about that one to help out that cause. Yeah.
Definitely excited to see you guys there. But I think with that, we'll start to wrap up our interview for today. So you have your new album coming out on the 1st. Just what can people expect to hear when they do listen to it?
They can expect to have their socks rocked off them. That's how I feel about that. I think it's going to be amazing. I'm obsessed with this album. I'm listening to it all the time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I can't wait for everyone else to listen to it all the time.
It's really good.
Well, where can people find the album and find more about you guys when they want to and when they will, because everyone's going to, look you guys up?
All the social media, we're at the Vovos Band on Facebook. We've got links to things. Our band camp is where you can buy the record in its physical sense and then stream it wherever you would normally stream stuff.
Fair enough. And look, firstly, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been great having you in, and definitely excited to give some of your album a spin on radio. But I will have one final question. We did mention that you guys aren't fans of the Vovo, so I do have to ask, what's your favourite Biggie?
Oh, we do get asked this often, and I do change my mind.
Yeah.
Every time. I like a mint chocolate.
Like a mint slice?
Yeah, mint slice.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you right now. I think if I was to go into the shopping centre and look at him, I would be standing there until I just walk away.
A Tim Tam?
Maybe Tim Tam. Actually, that's a really good one.
Both really, really good choices. But with that, we're going to go into what is another great choice. It is Pink Milk by the Vovos. You're listening to Get Cereal on Sin. Thank you again for joining us.